Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air, and thank you so much for taking your time out to listen to us on your Sunday evening or afternoon, and especially this weekend, which is the holiday weekend. If you're listening, we really appreciate it. And we got a number of things to talk about today, but first, hey, Jamal, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's kind of warm out here.
Man, I'm telling you, you know, for those of you that are listening on the East Coast, it's like it's 112, 113, 114 degrees out here where we are. So it is baking, no doubt about it. But we'll get through it, no doubt about it. Look, today we're going to have a very good conversation on the impact of a Biden presidency on businesses and on individuals. And I'm talking strictly from a financial standpoint, so just to let you know right at the outset. We've done our best to stay away from politics, so we're trying to be fair with this. And I do talk about, you know, to a lot of businesses, have business clients, so I thought it would be appropriate that we have that discussion. And next week, you know, just to be fair, we're going to have the same conversation, except it'll be on the impact of a Trump presidency on business and on individuals. And again, it's all from a financial standpoint, tax standpoint is what we're really talking about here. So we're not getting into all of these other areas. Right, Jamal?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to stay very focused. So if we do get any callers, understand we are staying focused on Biden and we are staying focused on the taxes on individuals and businesses. That's kind of what our focus is. I think it's too much to try to get into some of these other areas, so that's not the direction we're going to go in. But first, before we really get started, we want to say happy Labor Day out there. A lot of people don't even know how it started, why it started. Just to be clear, it's a day that's dedicated to the social and economic achievements of the American workers, because their contributions have led to the strength, prosperity, and the well-being of our country. So here's a day, which is tomorrow, where everybody across the country appreciates the workers. What do you think, Jamal?
I think that's great, man. I think all employers should give their employees a bonus on that day, man, and show some real appreciation.
Yeah, here we go. Well, that's because you work for me. You're not going to get a bonus, but you're going to get a day's pay, brother, as far as that bonus is going to go. At any rate, hey, we got to put somebody on blast today, Jamal. I tell you, I got to put Nancy Pelosi on blast. Nancy has, been on the air talking about everybody's got to wear a mask. Everybody's got to do this. Everybody's got to, maintain the social distancing, blah, 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 blah. And now she's caught on video having gone to the beauty salon that handles where she goes to have her hair done. Now, I know everybody knows about that because it's all over the news. The pictures are there. So, Nancy, to me, you're being a hypocrite. Now, I understand that you feel that you were, quote unquote, set up. Here's the part I don't like. She's actually demanding an apology, Jamal, from the salon owner. Now, the salon owner is saying that, no. There's not any apology coming. It's hypocritical because of the fact that the ordinance up there says nobody is supposed to go to the beauty salon. Nancy Pelosi is Speaker of the House, and if anybody should be, paying attention to the laws and the ordinances, it's somebody in her position, especially after she's been preaching all this other stuff. So whether she says she was set up or not, I don't really care. If you got the wrong frame of mind, then, you're going to get caught in a situation. But if in her mind, if she had thought, you know what, everybody's going to shut down no matter what, I am not going, end of story. And on top of that, Jamal, she wasn't wearing a mask. Okay, so how do you get around the fact that she wasn't wearing a mask? Go ahead, Jamal. Shout at me. What do you got?
Hey, man, first of all, I do agree with her. I'm not a Nancy Pelosi fan, but I do think she was set up. I just find it very odd. I've never heard of people throwing their clients under the bus like that. It just doesn't seem right. It was good enough for taking her money. And I understand the owner is the one who released the videotape, but the owner does profit off of her being there also. Because once again, she got the booth, the person renting the booth has to make her money. She makes her money through her clients. That money's used to pay her booth fee to the owner. So I've never heard of a hair salon or any other kind of business throwing their client under the bus like that. So I do think it's relevant that she said her.
Just to be clear, it's not her client. It's the stylist client. That's the first thing. The second thing is that this video was released. I don't even know that the person got paid that quickly. And certainly, I understand your point about the booth operator, you know, rents it and pays a monthly fee, you know, and rent. That's all just, you know, to rent that. That's all built in. That does not mean that that owner got a dime from that particular incident. And quite frankly, she probably wouldn't take any money under those circumstances, I would imagine. And we don't know who got paid or who didn't get paid. You know for a fact the owner got paid? Or are you using a common sense approach to the fact?
Well, let me ask you, the salon was supposed to be closed, right?
Correct.
So therefore, the stylist would have had to get permission from the owner to open up.
That was the issue, Jamal. The owner had no idea. The only reason why the owner knew about it is because the owner has a video, okay? And, you know, and the video operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So video, people that have these video, I mean, we have it. You know, so she was reviewing the video, and that's when she saw Nancy Pelosi on there with the stylist. And let's not forget something else. Nancy Pelosi's assistant is the one who sent the message to the stylist about Nancy coming in there. It wasn't like the owner of the salon turned around and said, "Hey, Nancy, your hair needs to be done. Why don't you come in?" It wasn't like that. She approached her own stylist about getting her hair done. So when you start talking about somebody was set up, I can understand it if the salon owner said, "You know what, Nancy, don't worry about it. Come on over. We'll do your hair." And now she does the video, and now she puts the video out. That's not what happened, just to be clear. It was the administrative assistant, and those text messages are on the air. They've been showing those. So, right. You know, Nancy turned around talking about she wants an apology from the salon owner. Notice she's not saying anything about the stylist. The stylist is the one who did her hair, not the owner of the salon. Right. At any rate, we could beat that into the ground all day long. The reality is, Nancy, there was an ordinance in place. You are the Speaker of the House, in my opinion. And no matter what the circumstance was, you know, you should not have gone over there to get your hair done, period. You could have had your stylist come over to your house, you know, end of story. So I'm not buying into this business about, you know, I was set up. Jamal, I wish I had a dime every time I hear about a criminal that says I was set up.
Whoa, you know, she's a criminal now.
You know, it's a violation. You know what? It's only an ordinance. So I shouldn't really call her a criminal because right. It's really just a violation of an ordinance, okay?
Right.
And an ordinance could be criminal, but I'm not going to put that in these. Like the fact about how she's trying to get out of it. You know, Jamal, if she said, "You know what? My hair was a mess. You know, my stylist, you know, said that they would take me. I thought it'd be okay, you know, because it was just a one-on-one situation." You know, sometimes when these people, Jamal, if they just turn around and admit, but they never do that. Not just her. There's other people right. When they get caught. It's like everybody has excuse. Remember W.C. Fields once said, "You can't cheat an honest man." Okay, so right. She was predisposed to do this because she wanted her hair done. You know, it's one of the privileged few, Jamal, and that's what the issue is. Then she got her hair done. End of story. And I hope it was worth it to her.
I personally think she should sue the stylist because if that was the finished product, man, it looked like it needed more help.
I am not going there. Okay, so we put Miss Nancy Pelosi on blast. End of story. Jamal, let's get into this business about the emails first, and then we're going to talk about Joe Biden and the impact his presidency will have. So let's get into some of these emails. And quite frankly, there's so much going on out there right now. My God, a lot of the emails we got had to do with all of this violence, but you can only talk about that so many times because it's there. Before I forget, I'm going to hold up the telephone number, meeting ID, and passcode. If anybody is interested in calling in today, that's the number. I'm just going to hold that up. So you could, because remember, we have different numbers now. So I'm going to hold this up, and then I'm going to go ahead and read the first email. So you've got time to take a picture, write the number down, whatever it may be. Jim, I know you've talked about China and expressed concerns. I did my research, and now I understand why you keep telling your listeners about the threat they pose. It is significant. They are hell-bent on dominating the world economically and militarily. Some of our politicians are on it, while others appear to be working with them. Keep the message going, Jim. This is a huge issue that cannot be ignored. Last point. They want Trump out. I wonder why. Thomas from Eugene, Oregon. Look, you guys, I'm telling you something, and something that's even been on the news this week. You got to understand where China is going with all of this. Even the situation in Hong Kong right now, where they are really treading on the rights of the people in Hong Kong, because Hong Kong wants to be a democracy and China is not having it. It's creating all kinds of problems over there. And that's why you saw all of the protests before the pandemic and, you know, China trying to hold all of that down. But look, China is building up their military. They are building up their ships. They are building up their weapon stores. They're doing all of that. And it is for a reason. And economically, they are way ahead of the United States. Militarily, they say that they're ahead of the United States, except for in a couple of areas. Now, so I want you to understand that. We have more nuclear submarines than they do. All right. I'm not sure they have any. We have four. And I know we have, I think it's more than four, but we have four aircraft carriers, and I believe they only have one. But most importantly is that our military is more proficient, so to speak, because we've been involved in all these different conflicts. China has not really been in there. So they say militarily, we're probably not going to end up being they're not going to end up being a threat against us, because we've got the ability through seasoned veterans, et cetera, and some of the techniques that we have that are in place, where militarily, you know, we'll probably do well. But that, to me, is only a part of it. We still got to understand this part about economically. And now it is clear that they are interfering with the next election. They want Trump out. Just watch the news. China is hell-bent on getting Donald Trump out, because Donald Trump is putting a lot of pressure on them economically with all these tariffs and everything as well. They want him out, as opposed to Joe Biden, who arguably, okay, has a relationship. We've all heard about it, this relationship with Biden and certain family members, I'll say, that have profited, okay, because of their relationship with China. Now, it is what it is. I'm not saying that right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm only telling you what's out there on the news regarding this. So we're talking some serious, serious business. And, you know, we need to keep an eye on them. And their cyber attacks, guys, you have no idea. They are after us. They want to be a world dominating force, and they're working in that direction. Please buy American goods. Stop buying goods from China. Jamal, what do you think?
Isn't China also the ones that's building those islands out there too?
Well, that's the other thing.
Where they're
that's
building up the sea floor and creating islands and creating more landmass to expand their military, and which I think that creates a problem with airspace and things like that also.
Right. That's exactly right, Jamal. So from that perspective, those are the kind of problems that we're talking about. And do you know that China does not use their own lumber and all these other things? They have all of that shipped in. They pay people for that. All their natural resources are still in place, Jamal. They don't use their own. They bring it in just to preserve their own. China is going to be a force one day. There's no doubt about it.
I think they even bring it in and resell it back to us.
It's all of that, like, man. Yeah. It's weird. But I'm just telling you, we got to watch China. And again, from a political standpoint, you know, there's two sides of this picture, Republicans and Democrats. We all know that. But it seems like the Republicans are lean harder on China because they know what's going on. And the Democrats, it appears, is just the opposite. So we got to understand. So keep an eye on this, people. So, Thomas, I'm glad you did your research. You found out. And I would encourage other people to do the same thing. You know, look for yourselves on this. All right. Don't just take my word for it. Do your research on this, please. Okay, next one. Jim, with all of the violence in these Democratic cities, why is it that the politicians are still refusing to accept federal help to stop the violence? Portland is a great example. It is getting way out of control. Sue from Irvine, California. Look, you know, we've discussed this. It's true. And to be honest with you, I really thought some of that was going to subside. And I think I'm wrong on that. They are hell-bent up there in Portland on keeping this narrative going. But again, people, please understand. I heard a police chief today on the news from another city, Jamal. I forget what the city it was. But he was saying that they've made a number of arrests in that particular city. It's about an issue that happened as well. And he was saying that they made a number of arrests, and all the people that they were arrested as agitators because they were getting too violent, out-of-state people, Jamal.
Oh, wow.
That's what's going on. And I'm telling people, these people are coming in. Somebody is funding some of these people. You know, George Soros is one, you know, allegedly one of them. These are people with money that are trying to keep things off balance. They want to keep perpetuating this hate scenario. Because of the fact that as long as this keeps going on, they're thinking that the narrative is that it's going to hurt Trump in his reelection. Now, some people are saying that it's actually going to have the opposite effect because now they've gone so far overboard that people are becoming concerned about their safety. I spoke to a cousin in New York City the other day, and we had the conversation about what's going on in New York City and the increase in the amount of, you know, people being killed, you know, shot, killed, murdered, whatever the case may be. And these people keep wanting to talk about defunding police. But this stuff's going to have an impact. You got to understand. And now the people who may have sided with them before are starting to scratch their heads saying, you know what? Uh-uh. This is not what we bought into. This is not right. I mean, I'm sorry, Jamal, go ahead.
I think that's always the importance, man. Sometimes you got to learn how and when to draw a line in the sand. And sometimes things end up going too far and the message get lost. I think the original message that this all started with is just far gone at this point. I think the whole message has been hijacked from what it was originally about. I remember in the beginning, like when BLM was first doing these protests, that there were people out there trying to spray paint and vandalize buildings, and they was trying to get people to stop. And it was other nationalities doing it. It wasn't even them that was vandalizing these buildings at first. And I just think a lot of things just been hijacked in terms of the original message.
Hey, Jamal, think about something. Who's doing the hijacking? It's people that are anarchists, Antifa. Yeah. You haven't heard Biden or Kamala Harris say one thing about Antifa. Go to their website. They've got a direct link to Antifa. It's on their website. I'm not making this up. Just go there and check it out. So what does that tell you? You know, so they want to keep the narrative going. They want to make it seem like this is all present. Listen, again, I'm going to skip this, that part of it. But look, here's the deal. There was a woman on the news this morning, Jamal. I think she was in Dallas, Caucasian lady. She said they were at a restaurant. And you can see the video. All of these Black Lives Matters people of trying to force people to raise their hand in solidarity with the fist. And if they don't do it, they start verbally assaulting them and all kinds of stuff. This one lady, she had to literally run, and she's Caucasian. She said she didn't have any, and she's a Democrat. And she didn't have a problem with any of this. But because she didn't raise her hand in solidarity type of thing, you should have seen it. The restaurant was trashed the whole nine yards. This lady's running, you know, away from these people. They're chasing her. Okay, and she was a Democrat. They don't know what her affiliation is. They just making certain assumptions.
Right.
Guess what? She's jumping ship. She's not going in that direction now. She's going in the Republican direction because she's seeing that this is getting out of control and this is not what people are buying into.
Right.
You know, so Sue, I don't know. They're not asking for this help. they don't want the help. So, you know, over in Kenosha, we brought in the feds. It got turned around in, what, 24 hours, whatever it was after they got there. No violence going on there. So, you know, we just have to see.
And Chicago declined also. Didn't Chicago decline to help also?
Yeah. That's what's interesting. All of these cities are declining to help. I'm putting the number back up again, so if anybody needs it, all right? So, yeah, they turned around and declined to help as well, Jamal. But remember what I said. These are Democratic cities that are declining the help. Let's go to the third email. Jim, people keep insisting that the right is creating all the violence. I have seen several videos this week where Black Lives Matter protesters are violently attacking people in restaurants and on the street. If the person refuses to put up, that's what I just told you. So that's why I was operating off of that, because I've seen it myself. So here's somebody writing in about it. I am a Democrat, but I'll be switching my voting to Republican. This behavior is wrong. You know, so it's other people that are saying the same thing, you know, and like I said, the lady on the news, coincidentally, she had said and done the same thing.
Right.
This lady wrote in coincidentally, you know, I mean, I kind of fed into that, but, so that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The violence has to stop. This is ridiculous, you know, my opinion.
You know what's funny, man? They always, refer to themselves as the group of tolerance, but they become very intolerant if you don't agree with their views, you know? And that's just not right. It's human nature to agree and disagree. And just because somebody disagreed, they shouldn't be demonized and beat up for having a disagreement and not the same views as you. And that's what it's turned to.
Well, Jamal, this is all domestic terrorism. I don't care how you cut it. It's domestic terrorism. That's what it is. You know, they can call it whatever they want, but clearly that's what we're going through now with all of this for sure. Let's get into this business about, you know, Vice President Biden and the impact of his presidency. Now, let me make something clear, guys, if anybody calls in. We're not here to talk about Trump. That's next week. We're here strictly to talk about Joe Biden, okay, and his impact on businesses. Now, I want you to understand something, because the focus is going to be on businesses and individuals. But as you know, Jamal, I'm a business owner. Matter of fact, you know I started my company working out. Remember that?
Right.
You know, and, you know, 80 to 85% of the businesses in this country are, in fact, you know, these small business owners. But if being an entrepreneur or business owner was easy, Jamal, everybody would be one. Okay. Right. But it's not easy despite what people say. It takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of determination. There's a lot that goes on with that in order to be a business owner. People just have no idea. And this business about, you know, these taxes and the way that these businesses are being overtaxed, especially in California, it's out of control. It's just out of control. Now, I will say that Joe Biden, from what I've researched, now I understand before anybody starts calling in and pointing fingers at me, I got all this information off the internet, went to Biden's website, did all of that. So I'm basically given information as I learned it, okay? If somebody has opinion contrary to what I'm giving out, that's fine too. Those are opinions. I don't intend to argue with anybody about it. I may question some things, but I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. But I will tell you one of the things that I've seen is that Biden makes a lot of promises. As a candidate for president, he recently vowed to create 3 million jobs in caregiving and early education as part of his Build Back Better economic agenda. Now, that all sounds good, okay? He's talking about investing $1.3 trillion into the American infrastructure and moving the United States economy to net zero greenhouse gas emissions, rebuilding the middle class as well. Now, these are promises that he's making, yet his treatment of small businesses, from what I'm going to see, is really somewhat troubling, okay, is what I'll say. Now, what I'm curious about, you guys, is that I've read a lot of this, and I'll get into some of this, but Joe Biden has been in politics for almost 50 years. He was 8 years in the White House under Obama. So all of these promises he's making now, Jamal, I'm at a loss. Why has it taken him 50 years? And why, when he was in the White House for 8 years under Obama, these promises he's making now, why hasn't he already done that? Because his record doesn't reflect it. What do you think?
His record has never reflected. Matter of fact, you seem like he's always been on the wrong side of a lot of things, in my opinion. You know, but, you know, you talk about raising taxes, you know, and once again, his plan is to raise taxes and we're coming out of a pandemic. I mean, who is that going to benefit raising taxes as soon as we, you know, are trying to fight this way out of the pandemic? Businesses are already struggling as it is. Employees are already struggling as it is. So then you want to raise taxes as we're trying to get out of the hole that we in now? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, his thing, Jamal, is also that he's going to punish, you know, I say punish, you know, major corporations. OK, he's going to, you know, ensure that corporate America finally pays their fair share in taxes. I don't understand that. I'm a business owner that pays taxes, Jamal, every single month.
Right.
So you can't get out of certain taxes, payroll taxes. Those things are there. Those things are expensive every single month. And other types of taxes, you're paying taxes on a state level and a federal level.
Right.
You know, so, you know, this business about these taxes, you know, concerns me. If Biden is truly interested in helping small businesses, though, then he needs to lay out a plan where he is actually, you know, going to help. But what is he talking about? From what I can see, he wants to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Look, say that $15 an hour, you know, people can't live on less than $15 an hour. Now, look, there's a part of me that doesn't disagree with that because things are expensive out there. But understand, you can't make this jump the light speed when you have small businesses. And you got to understand there's certain areas where $15 an hour, if somebody's got some little small restaurant and Podunk, Missouri, or Podunk, Iowa, or, you know, somewhere in the Midwest, you know, a little small town, $15 an hour, they may not be able to afford that. So how can you have a blanket $15 an hour? You know, so that to me is going to create a problem because understanding, like California right now, I believe the minimum wage is $13 an hour. But some places have it where it's more than that, like San Francisco, as an example, it's more than $13 an hour. Okay. But if you got like a McDonald's franchise, you got people making 30, what about the person that's been there for a couple of years and they're at $14 an hour? What's going to happen? That means their salary is going to be the same salary as somebody started there 6 months ago, Jamal.
You know, here's the problem I have, man. It's once again, we're putting the responsibility off on somebody else and blaming it on somebody else, man. And, you know, instead of raising taxes, how about we just do better responsible spending? How about that? Because the government's been known to do a lot of wasteful spending. Why don't they tighten up their budget instead of putting the blame on somebody else? And that's the problem that I have in this. Then you turn around and do things like raise the minimum wage. Well, who does that help and who does that hurt? The ones that help are the major corporations, the Walmart, Amazon. And the reason why that is because it puts the smaller business out of business. So therefore, Walmart ends up getting more customers because who always wins? The big business when you do things like that. They can afford to pay more money. The
other it becomes counterproductive, then is what you're saying.
It becomes very counterproductive. It's not helping the smaller man.
Well, you know?
And then one more thing also. You know, this whole notion about, you know, $15 an hour is not enough for a living wage. You know, I grew up, man, coming up, man. When I had my son at a young age, man, what did I do, man? I went out and got to a second job, another part-time job. And I just feel like we're living in a crybaby society now. Even in the olden days that people will do overtime in factories and things like that, the man up. I've seen people in poor neighborhoods walking around with $300 Jordans on,
right,
$400 Gucci belts. It's irresponsible spending that's going on the government and people that's making a minimum installment to get a skill and get better.
Well, the other thing is Biden is talking about giving people paid time off, PTO. Well, wait a minute. First of all, here we go again. If you got a small business, how many small businesses could afford to give people additional paid time off? Vacation pay, as an example. Vacation is a non-mandated benefit. Employers don't really have to do it. It's not mandated. Sick days are mandated, all right? Well, at least in California. Some states it may not be mandated. But when you start talking about giving people paid time off, here's what's going to happen. Now, we're getting a call in. When you start talking about giving people paid time off, the problem with that's going to be, hang on a second. Okay, you have a caller. Let me click on this to see what we got going on here. Hello, we have a caller on the line?
Yeah, Jim, it's Jim from Jersey.
Hey, Jim, Jersey, how you doing?
Jamal,
so if we turn around with the paid time off, okay, now that small employer has to pay, you know, for not having that person at work that day. So once again, that could create a burden. But I agree there should be a vacation plan in place. There are paid sick days in place, in my opinion. But the problem is that when you get the government involved with that stuff ends up being how many days now? So it starts to get to be a ridiculous number where the smaller employer can't afford to have a crew member gone, you know, for X numbers of time. Now, you know, at our company, that's different. We have sick days, we have personal days, and we also have vacation. All right. But, you know, we work toward that, you know, and everybody can't do that. Jim, how you doing? So you're calling in. You have a comment to share with us?
Let's get out there right away.
Right.
Of course, he's promising a lot of things, but the primary priority is going to be controlling the pandemic, because he said a number of times that you can't bring back this economy back to normal without first controlling this pandemic. And that's what he's promising to do. He's got a plan. And, you know, that's what you have to figure. And as far as the minimum wage goes, I think, I always thought $15 was a tad high, but I don't think they should jump into it right away. Get this, maybe gradually go up to 12 first, and then gradually work your way up to 15 rather than jump from whatever, it is in some states to 15.
The country has been faced with pandemics in the past. As a matter of fact, there was
not like this one.
Not true. Okay.
100 years ago.
Hold on a second.
We're talking about the 100.
If you look at the one, let's just start with that one. If you talk about the one 100 years ago and you actually look that one up, you will see that it is significantly the same thing going on. They were talking about people wearing masks. They were talking about people sheltering in place. And they were talking about things like social distancing. This is not a new situation. They've had pandemics that have gone back thousands of years, okay? And society always overcomes it, period. Okay? Now, look, it's going to be there. We've got a problem with it. But my concern, Jim, is that Biden has promised to repeal Trump's tax cuts and the job at the TCGA immediately when he gets in office. Now, that has nothing to do with the pandemic. Immediately, he has said that when he gets in office on day one, he's going to repeal the tax cuts and the Job Act. And that's going to immediately raise taxes on small businesses by increasing the marginal income tax rates and eliminating the 20% small business deduction. Now, Biden may claim to keep the small business exempt from tax hikes, but that's impossible if he, in fact, takes out the TCGA, if he repeals that. So it's contradictory. And again, he said that on day one, he's going to do that. That's irrespective, Jim, of where the pandemic is. That's the problem. Because remember, the theme today is that the impact on businesses, okay? We'll get by the pandemic. That's going to happen. I believe some of this is some talking points out there regarding this, you know, pandemic. And it's serious enough. I get it, okay? But I'm focusing on the fact that that's not going to be with us forever. Okay, and under a Biden administration, okay, I'm focusing on small businesses and businesses in general. 80 to 85% of the businesses in this country, Jim, as you know probably, are small businesses. And he's not taking a look at anything. He's telling you, I'm a small business owner. You have no idea about the taxes, okay, on a small business owner. It's killing us. And yet we are the backbone of this country. Okay, because that's who we are. Mom and pop shops, Jim, the restaurants, the hair salons, the barber shops, you know, the things that make us, you know, on a day by day basis that society, you know, the dry cleaners. Okay, these are the small guys. The big guys, Jim, it don't matter whether they cut 20%, 30%, whatever, they gonna pay it, and then
almost like what Jamal was saying, they're just going to hike up the prices on their merchandise, and we, the consumer, we're going to end up paying for that tax hike. They're not even going to think about it. But the small businessman can't necessarily do that. That's my concern. How do you respond to that, Jim?
Well, I have to look into more detail. It's at any campaign, everybody promises this and that, and they finally get in there, they're not going to be able to do it for whatever reason. So who knows what's going to happen?
But Jim, he's running on that, and he vows to increase the corporate income tax rate from 21% to 28%, and revert the top individual income tax rate for taxable incomes above $400,000 back to the pre-TCJA level of 39.6%.
Well, who benefited the most from that tax cut? Was the top? The richest people, right? The top 1%, 2%, whatever.
Wait. If a guy makes $1 million a year, Jim, okay, and the tax hike gives him a 10, we'll just use easy numbers, gives him a 10%, help along, so to speak, 10% less. Okay, his amount's going to be $100,000. If I'm a small business owner, and let's say mine is, $100,000, so 10% of that is $10,000, you're saying who benefits the most? But for the guy who's at the $1 million mark, okay, you're saying, does he benefit the most? Hey, $10,000, Jim, to a small business is the same as what that guy, okay, at the upper level. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm saying? So $10,000 mm-hmm. to me, so that's still a benefit of $10,000. But if you take that mm-hmm. away from me, okay, I'm the one that's going to be hurting, not the guy at the top that still has $800,000 or $900,000. You follow what I'm saying? To work with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem okay. that I have. Now, I'll tell you something else. On his website, because, again, to be fair, I went to the website as well. On his website, he says that he plans to help black and brown entrepreneurs, Jim, in getting loans to help close the gap like you and I were just talking about as an example. Well, wait a minute. First of all, the Democrats, okay, and I'll just say Joe Biden, okay, so not I don't want to say all Democrats and put it so broad, okay, since we're focusing on Biden. If they're talking about the current administration is creating this divide among people, and now Biden is saying on his website that he's going to help black and brown entrepreneurs get proper financing and things like that, that's another promise, in my opinion, Jim, that's just an empty promise. The reason why I say that mm-hmm. is because when it all comes down to it, these bankers, when this black guy or this brown person walks into the bank and says, hey, this is what Joe Biden said that we could get, okay, and now we walk into a bank and they say, fine, what's your credit score? Well, my credit score is 400, 500. Oh, well, guess what? We can't give you a loan on that. But let me get back to the other point that I wanted to make on this. The other point is if that they're so worried about, this current administration dividing the country, then how is it that he's going to divide and give black people and brown people this entrepreneurial money? What about the struggling Caucasian entrepreneur? Because they're struggling just as much. So to me, that's a divide, because what's going to happen is that struggling Caucasian entrepreneur is going to be upset. They're going to look at the black and brown person, okay, as having an advantage mm-hmm. because they're black and brown, and that's going to create some animosity. I mean, logically, doesn't that make sense?
Well, I mean, logically, yeah. But let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. I guess.
Okay.
I mean,
but
we talk about division. You can't compare. You can't. Because Trump has divided this country.
This country has been divided. Stop you right there. We are not talking about Trump.
Okay. All right. Okay. Next week. Yeah. Next week.
Next week you can say whatever you want. Okay. I am simply talking about what Joe Biden is saying. Okay. And mm-hmm. my concern is, Jim, where has this been 8 years in the White House? Close to 50.
I've heard that Republican BS before. Oh, he was in he's done other things before. First of all, he wasn't the president. Obama was the president. And you know something? Things change constantly in this country. Things change over the years. You expect somebody to have have done all these things before? I mean, come on. I mean,
promises.
Come on, he's done things before. Come on, he's had accomplishments. Give me a break.
Hey, Jim, let me give you a chance to get your blood pressure down. Let me read something to you, okay? At the Democratic presidential debate, okay? Here's what the moderator, so this is the moderator, Jim. This is not me. Moderator, I want to ask you about Latinos owning one out of every four new businesses in the United States. Now, this is the moderator at the DNC, or the presidential debate, rather. Okay, many of them have benefited from President Trump's tax cuts, and they may be hesitant about new taxes or regulations. Will taxes on their small business go up under your administration? No, taxes on small businesses won't go up. Yet, Jim, on his first day in office, he's talking about cutting the tax cuts through the Tax Cuts and Job Act. That's automatically going to do what? Send taxes up on small businesses. It's contradictory. It's contradictory.
I don't know.
Okay, now look.
I have to do some research on that.
Jim, I'm reading directly. Help yourself. Do your research. I'm reading directly from the moderator. Okay? I'm reading, Jim, through the individual taxes. And quite frankly, if Biden repeals the TCJA, as he has promised, marginal tax rates go up across the board, which is going to impact millions of small businesses. Now, I will tell you that the corporate tax, I already told you, 21% to 28%. Now I will tell you something else. Let's not forget that when he ran for president, Jim, in 2008, because you said about these promises, okay? That in 2008, he repeatedly said he would not support any form of any tax that imposed even one single penny of tax increase on any American making less than $250,000. Okay, but Biden never kept that promise when he was in office, you know, as well. So that's why people talk about, you know, his past promises and his past records, you know. So that's what I would be concerned about. Jamal,
we've seen in the past when these tax hikes happen on businesses, what do these businesses end up doing? They end up having layoffs. They end up laying a lot of people off. So now we already got a high unemployment rate. So when you come out of this pandemic and start raising taxes, there's going to be layoffs again because businesses are not going to be able to afford to have all these employees there.
Yeah, I'm getting text messages, Jim, off of your comment about the Republicans. But one of the messages is that Biden has to share some level of responsibility because he's still the vice president. But anyway, that's a good point, but we're not going to belabor that. Look, Jim, let me tell you something. There's five reasons why, in my opinion, I'm concerned about a Biden presidency, the impact of a Biden presidency on businesses. The first reason is Biden has already said that on day one, he's going to repeal the tax cuts. That concerns me. And a repeal of those tax cuts, Jim, and the Job Act, it's going to shrink the standard deduction and cut the child tax credit of $2,000. It's going to cut it in half. That's going to impact individuals with families, Jim. And they say there's over 22 million families in this country. That's a concern. My second reasoning, according to a recent report, and Jim, you can look this up, by the American Enterprise Institution, that Biden's proposal would increase taxes on average for households of every income level. The report found that under Biden's plan, the bottom 95% of earners would see an average income tax increase of up to $1,368 in 2021. Okay, again, that's from the American Enterprise Institute. You can look it up. Third one, Biden plans to reimpose the individual mandate tax if he's elected. Now, look, Jim, here we go. Now, this is CNN. When pressed by CNN Chris Cuomo, Biden said, yes. Yes, I'd bring back, and these are quotes of Biden. Yes, I'd bring back the individual mandate. Jim, 4,606,271 households paid the individual tax mandate penalty in 2017. Of these households, Jim, 74.5% had an adjusted gross income of less than $50,000. Look how that impacted all of these people. And again, these are numbers you can find yourself. And that was through CNN Chris Cuomo. CNN, not Fox, CNN. Number four, in a recent interview with CNN Anderson Cooper, Joe Biden said that he supports carbon taxes. This high tax burden is passed along to the consumer in the form of higher gas and energy prices. Number five, I think I already told you this one anyway, in 2008 campaign about the fact that he was not anybody making less than $250,000. So, Jim, I'm only saying that to say, okay, that this is the information that's out there, and there appears to be some inconsistency of what Biden is saying, okay, on one day to the next, on one set of circumstances to the next set of circumstances. And there would be a concern because these small businesses, as Jamal said, are being impacted. You brought up the pandemic. We cannot afford, okay, to have, if Biden gets elected in January on day one, he's immediately going to send the prices, the taxes up, and it's going to impact small businesses when small businesses are struggling already. That's all. You know, so that's a concern. That's a concern. And again, this is, again, information I've gathered, including information that I have gathered off of his website, you know, as well. So, and those are quotes, you know, CNN, you know, Chris Cuomo, Anderson Cooper. These are responses by those guys. So it's not even, those aren't even Fox questions. Those aren't, Jamal. I see we're bearing down on the time. So tell us about what's happening in the world of sports.
In the world of sports, man, it looks like the Roy Jones versus Mike Tyson fight, it was originally supposed to be September 12th, but they moved it to November. However, there might be a problem. Roy Jones is thinking about bowing out of the fight because he wants more money, which is understandable. It's very understandable because they moved the fight to November to try to see if they can actually see if the pandemic was going to calm down so they could put people in the stands. Well, that changes things because you're talking about the promoters making more money without the fighters getting more money. So now they're trying to Roy Jones want to renegotiate, and he's threatening to pull out the fight if they do not pay him more money. So
Roy Jones probably has, well, and I won't say Roy Jones has more money than he can ever spend because some of these athletes, they don't do so well financially after they stop fighting. Situation, Jamal?
I think it is going to be a pay-per-view situation.
Jamal, you want to know the deal? Now, we don't know the behind the deal, so I'm just offering an offhanded opinion here. How much you going to bet not that many people signed up for it? Who cares about a fight between Mike Tyson and Roy Jones?
Oh, I disagree, man. I think this is going to be this fight sounds more exciting than the heavyweight fights that's been going on. I mean,
who can get excited about these heavyweight fighters these days? I mean, Jamal, my day with the heavyweight fighters goes back to great fighters. These other guys, to me, are a bunch of bums, but that's besides the point.
And then also, we got the NBA playoffs going on. We in the conference semifinals right now. We got Milwaukee playing Miami. Miami's up 3-0. Boston, Toronto, that is tied at 2-2. The Lakers in Houston. Lakers is down 1 to Houston. Then Clipper and Denver and Denver are still in it, and they're tied 1 apiece.
Well, I thought the Lakers also have a
really down 1.
Yeah, they shouldn't be down anything. They should be sweeping people.
Hey, man, I don't know. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, so.
You know, well, that's no problem. I can get you on that. But I see you switched over from the other situation. Jamal, trust me, that pay-per-view situation, if that money was flying off the hook, Jamal, nobody would be canceling anything. They're moving it back to November.
Or it could have been flying off the hook, and that's why Roy Jones want more money.
But, Jamal, you already know he's getting a percentage of the gate. If it's flying off the hook, then what difference does it make? I don't know. Whatever. We'll just wait and see. I think this is all, you know, it's all financial. I get it. You know, money is never enough for people. You know, the greed sets in there. So can't worry about it. I'm not getting a dime from it, and I won't be wasting my time watching it.
You got to watch it, man.
All right. You've been listening to Jim and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. Hey, be sure to join us next week. Do a favor. If you like what you heard, do a favor.
He hung up.
Okay, he hung up. Okay, no problem. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from Jim again next week because, you know, you can tell he's not a Trump supporter. So
are we going to make that a two-hour special?
No, I don't know. We may have to block him. Okay, everybody, take care. See you next week. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.